What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, I might need some children to help me in a little while. So if you'd like to come and sit on the brown carpet, Rachel's coming, look. Rachel's coming to sit on the brown carpet, well, nearly. It would be lovely to have some children come and sit with me down here. As many as possible, older children, littler children, grown-up children. We're all children, aren't we? Okay, that's lovely. I might need some help. I might need some help from Ben in a bit as well. You want to come and sit down here, Ben? That's it. That's lovely. Do you want to move across that way a little bit by Nick? Yeah, go over by Nick and Rachel. A few more over this way. Go, come all over this way, because we're going to put some things on this board. So if you're near to this board, then that will be a great help. And if I don't fall over this wire, that will be even a greater help. Okay, here we come. Right, just a couple of words to the grown-ups and then we're going to see what we can find out about what the Bible story was saying to us this morning. There's a Christian author called Chuck Swindoll who said this, "To dwell above with the saints we love, that will be grace and glory. To live with the saints we know, well, that's another story." And we know, don't we, as we seek to live together in peace as God's children, we have to admit it's not all grace and glory. It is sadly so often another story. In last week's news sheet, the talk for this morning quarrels, their cause and cure, was written in the news sheet like this: quarrels, their curse and cure. Now, it was a misprint, of course, but a forgivable one, as quarrels are indeed the curse of the church. Now, I have a grandson. Does anybody know who my grandson's name is? He's called Joel. Yeah, that's a Bible name, isn't it? And you know, he's already nearly 15 months old. Already. Where did that time go? And he's becoming quite a little person. He started to walk about and is mostly happy and smiling. That is until he wants something he can't have, or he can't have it quickly enough. Do you know about that? When we want something but it won't come quickly enough, especially our dinner, yeah? Well, when that happens, he starts to lose his temper. And he cries and he shouts and he jumps about and he throws his toys. Now, James, who wrote the bit of our Bible story this morning, was Jesus' brother, and he tells us that sadly, we don't stop behaving like our Joel, even when we grow up, or when we become Christians, or even when we come into church. The things we want, when the things we want don't happen in the way we think they should, or when we want them to, then we too can act like our Joel acts. And it can cause fights and quarrels amongst us.
Excuse me.
What's going on here?
I need the car.
She wants to go out. She wants the car.
And you don't think she can have it?
No, I don't. I think it's bad.
Well, I think the two of you should go and sit down and talk to each other properly.
We'll think about it, yeah. Okay.
Now, sometimes, actually, it's funny sometimes to watch others quarrelling. But really, when we fight, it's not so funny, is it? When it's us involved, it's not so funny. So we're going to have a look at what causes our fights and how we can stop them. And the first thing that might cause our fights, and Rachel's... Can one of you help Rachel to put this on the board? What do you think can cause fights? Come on, Bethany. What can cause fights, Bethany? Blaming others, can't it? Yeah? Yeah. So we'll put that one high up. Yeah? So blaming others. Say it's somebody else's fault. That can cause fights. We go, no, it's your fault. No, it's not me, it's you, don't we? I had two brothers and we did that all the time when I was little. And our mum used to come in and say, what's going on? And I'd say, it's his fault. And they'd say, it's her fault. But most of the time, it was all of our faults that we were cross with one another. Sometimes we talk about the bad things other people do, but we don't bother to think about the bad things we do. So how can we stop blaming others? Do you want another helper for Rachel? Come on, anybody? Jemima? Go on. Yeah, all right. And we've got Leah, sorry. So Leah, what does it say, Rachel? You'll have to help Leah on.
It says stop judging.
In other words, stop. And they're on the screen, some of these things as well, so you need to look up at the screen. Stop comparing yourselves. Stop saying, I'm prettier than you, or I'm smarter than you, or I'm funnier than you. Because we can't do that. Because God is the only one who can say who really is to blame when we fight. Because he looks at our heart. Now, we can't do that. So instead of picking on others and the things they do, sometimes we need to say, what do I do? What is it about me that's not right? And we have to think about how we behave. Now, that doesn't mean we can't stop our friends doing really bad things if we see them going to do that, because Jesus would want us to do that. But God made us all to be like him. And he loves us all the same. We are awesome. God thinks we're all awesome. Isn't that good? I think that's really good. When I feel a bit not very good, I think, God thinks I'm awesome. If nobody else does. Even though we get things wrong sometimes, God knows, and we know too. It's hard, isn't it, trying to get things right and not fight and quarrel all the time. And so if we are to stop blaming others, we all need to know just how much Jesus loves us. And then we can ask his Holy Spirit to help us every day. Here's a little thing perhaps we all might like to do in the next week. Perhaps we can write down something about the way we are that we don't like very much and ask Jesus to help us make it better. Now, I'm not going to ask you what that is, but I know one or two things I could be better about and be better doing. Now, we've got our next word, and our next word is... Come on, somebody, find our next word. Go on, your mummy, you can be next. Yeah. Our next word is... On the board. Shall we shout it out? Can we all see that? Can we shout it out? Selfishness. Yeah, our next word is selfishness. And that means wanting to get our own way. It means holding on to our things and saying, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. You're not having it. It's mine. I want it. And we don't share our things. As we grow up, sometimes it means wanting things to stay the same as they've always been, just because we like them that way. Selfishness leads us to do wrong things and to say wrong things and angry and unkind words sometimes. And when we do that, Jesus' enemy and our enemy, the devil, he's very happy because he just loves us to fight. And he loves it when people in church fight with each other. So how can we stop being selfish? If we don't want to be selfish, we need to... Come on, we've got some more words. Shall we stick this up? If we don't want to be selfish, we need to resist the devil. Whoa, what does that mean? Well, it means actually to stand up for Jesus and all that Jesus says and does. The Bible tells us, like in this picture on the screen, that the devil is like a roaring lion looking, prowling round, looking for one of us to fall into his trap, the traps he sets for us to do selfish things. And it's easy for us all, no matter how young or old we are, to fall into the devil's clever traps and do selfish things. But you know, there is some very, very good news. Even though the devil is large and very loud, we must always remember that he is much, much, much smaller than God. So we should not be afraid of him. Instead, every day we should ask God to keep us safe from the devil's crafty ways. And we can do that when we read our Bible and say our prayers. And you know what happens when we say our prayers and read our Bible? This is what happens. The devil runs away like a scared chicken. He goes, clock, 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 and he's off down the road, frightened, because Jesus is so strong. Now, when we were at New Wine Ben, you learnt a little song in your group, didn't you? Yeah, you learnt a little song in your group. And what was it called? It was about Jesus. What was that little song called about Jesus? So bad. Can you tell me? You tell him, Dad.
Jesus is my superhero.
Yeah, the children learnt a little song. Ben came back every day with his little song. Jesus is my superhero. So Jesus can always help us to fight off the things the devil tells us to do. And he can help us when we're in trouble, like our memory verse says. He's strong and helps us when we're in trouble. Now, another thing that causes us to quarrel and fight is something called... What's our next word, Rachel? Who's going to help Rachel put this one on? Come on, anybody, jump out. Oh, Ben. Come on, Ben. Good lad. Stick it up a bit higher, I think, so. Oh, there, yeah. Stick it there, yeah. What does it say? Can anybody read it? Can... Godlessness. It's called godlessness. Godlessness is when we leave God out of our lives. When we say, like the man who made that famous song, I did it my way. We want to do it our way, not God's way. So it's when we choose to do things our way and not God's. And when we're making some choices about what we should do, sometimes the last person we ask is God. We can forget that God is good and loves to give us all the things we need. We can forget to trust in God. We want to do it our way, so we make our minds up what's good to have and we try to get it by ourselves. Then just to make sure, we pray and tell God what we want. Trouble is, when we pray like that, we forget just who God is. And then we're disappointed when those prayers don't get answered, aren't we? What God really wants is for us to, our next label, God really wants for us to, come and stick this on the board, anybody, yeah? Good girl. He really wants for us to come near to him. Oh, 2 minutes. Sorry, I'm having a mess, making a mess. So he really wants us to come near to him. Then he promises that he will come and be with us. He'll come to be near with us in all the choices we have to make every day. You know, this is an amazing promise that God makes, one which he always will keep when we get close to him. So how do we get close to God? How do you think we get close to God? Anybody got any ideas? How do we get close to God? Jemima, anything? That's exactly what I've got written down here. That's brilliant. She said praying and reading the Bible. That's one of the ways we get close to God. And we'll come to that in a minute. But he also tells us we should stop being stubborn and trying to do things on our own without his help. But first, we also need to say we're sorry to God. The words in our Bible reading says we have to cleanse our hands. It means we have to clean our hands. How do we clean our hands when they get dirty? How do we do it? What do we put them in? Water. And something else? Soapy water, yeah. We wash them in soapy water, don't we? And all the dirt comes off, doesn't it? Do you remember when you fell in the puddle at New Wine and all the mud on your trousers? Do you remember? And Mummy had to wash, she had to shower you and wash all the dirt off, didn't she? And that's when we come and say, sorry to Jesus. Jesus helps us to wash away the wrong things that we do when we get selfish or we stubborn or all of those things. He helps us to wash away all those things from our lives. Just when you, like when you say sorry to Mummy and Daddy when you've done things they shouldn't, you shouldn't do that they've asked you not to do. We also need to say a big sorry to God and ask him to help us. Because, you know, when we say sorry to God, he always hears us and he always forgives us. He makes it better for us, doesn't he? And he lets us start again. Now, Jemima said we need to pray to get near to God, and she's quite right. And when it comes to saying our prayers, some of the things we pray for might be good for us, but we must ask God in the right way. Jesus taught us how to pray. Who knows the name of the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us to pray? Who knows what it's called? Begins with the... Yeah? The... Whose prayer is it? The Lord's Prayer. Yeah? Remember about the Lord's Prayer when we say, Our Father in Heaven? Yeah? So Jesus taught us how we should pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say these words, Your will be done, when we are asking for things. And when we say Your will be done, it's like saying, God, I want things to happen in the way that you want them to happen, please. And when we pray like this, we are choosing to do God's things God's way rather than our own. Later on in his letter, James also tells us that those kinds of prayers are very powerful and successful prayers. And lastly, we've got one more thing that causes quarrels and fights. One more thing to put on the board. Yeah, quickly, come and do it. Yeah, that's it. Whoever. Don't fight over who's going to do it. Okay. So we've got something called, what's it called? What does it say? Unfaithfulness. Yeah. Unfaithfulness to God. The grown-ups will know from the scripture that we heard that God calls this by some big words. He calls it spiritual adultery. But unfaithfulness to God is about when we love something more than we love God. Things like our favourite toys. Do we love? It's nice to have favourite toys and favourite things, but do we love them more than we love God? Things like our smartphones even. Do we love them more than we love God? Do we spend more time with them than we do with God? Or our computers? Do we look our hobbies? Do we spend more time doing that than we do with God? Our money? How do we spend that? But it's also about loving things. Unfaithfulness can be about loving things that we think we're really good at. And loving our own rules instead of God's rules. And this causes God to be very angry. And it can also cause many quarrels among us. Who's ever been to a wedding? Who's been to a wedding? Yeah? Nick's been to lots of weddings. Lots and lots of weddings. Who are the main two people at a wedding? Who are the main two people? Bethany. A bride and one more? Jemima, who can, who's the groom. So we've got the bride and the groom. And what does the bride do? How does she look? What does the bride look like when she comes? She walks down this big aisle here and she comes to the front. What does she look like? We saw a bride when we went out, didn't we? She looks beautiful. She looked beautiful. Usually has a really nice dress and a hair and a makeup and a nice bag and shoes and all that stuff, yeah. She comes down the aisle, doesn't she, like this, and she feels like a queen. She feels very special. And who's waiting for her here? Who waits? Jesus, yeah. Jesus really wants to be in this situation. She really does love it. Who's waiting for her? She walks down. Perhaps her dad brings her. And somebody waiting for her here. It's the other person. The groom, the man she's going to marry, yeah. And she comes looking beautiful and she doesn't want anything to spoil that. Remember we saw that lady when we were on away and she'd got her lipstick in a bag and a mirror because if she messed it up she wanted to put it right, yeah. And so she doesn't want anything to spoil that. Because the man who's waiting for her, she wants to look beautiful for him because he loves her and she loves him. And it's a very, very special moment. Now the Bible stories paint a picture of how when Jesus comes back, he will be with those who love him, how he'll be with us. And it's just like a wedding. Yes, I've got a bride and groom on there. But at this wedding, Jesus is the bridegroom and the church, us his people, are his bride, who he loves very much. And just as a bride makes herself beautiful for her husband, so God wants all of us to be beautiful for Jesus. Now that doesn't mean putting lots of makeup on and fine clothes, does it? It means being beautiful on the inside, doesn't it? So while we wait for that special moment, God says we must love him. He doesn't want anything to spoil us for that moment. So he says we must love him. We must, our last word on the board, Jesus says, we must, shall we shout it out? Submit to him. God wants us to submit to him. Now, what does submit mean? It means letting Jesus be in charge of the whole of our life. Letting him be our Lord and King in the things we say and do. The kind of friends we choose to make. what we watch on the TV or on the internet and what we do with our pocket money and the things we have, Jesus wants us to submit all those things, give all those things to him, and so that he can use them as well. Some more words that Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer are, "Your kingdom come." Do you remember? And when we pray this, we say we are loving God more than anything else, and this pleases God very much. When we say, "Your kingdom come," and we really mean it, God is very pleased with us. Because he doesn't want just to be in a bit of our lives, he wants to be in all of our lives. Do you know, children and grown-ups, God loves you and me very much. And he wants to be our best friend. And he wants you and me to love him better and more than anything or anyone. And it says on the screen there, doesn't it? It's better to do what God wants than to do what everyone else wants. And that means we have to stop quarrelling and fighting with each other. And so, we have learned four things which cause us to fight and quarrel. What are they? Blaming others. Godliness and unfaithfulness. They're not very nice things, are they? So can we get rid of them? Come on, let's get rid of them. Pull them off. Get rid of them, quick. Pull them off. Just these ones, not those ones. Yeah? Okay. Pull them off. Screw them up. Throw them away. That's it. Get rid of them. Sit back on your carpet. Yeah? So we don't want those things in our lives, do we? What should we do instead? What are the things we need to do? We need to
stop judging,
resist
the devil,
and you know, we can start doing all those things today, right now. So everybody, children, grown-ups, I would like you to turn to the person next to you and say these words, "I want to live at peace with you." Or, "I want to be friends with you and live at peace with you." Whatever you want. Can we say that to each other? "I want to live at peace with you." Hang on. No, nobody wants to live at peace with Tim. Hang on. "I want to live at peace with you." Okay. So, It sounds like we all want to, they're too busy loving each other. It sounds like we all want to live at peace with each other. And just saying it is a very good start, but it really isn't enough. If we just nip back to chapter 1 of James' letter, he tells us that we don't only have to listen to what the Bible tells us. We have to do it. We have to do what it says. So the next time it looks as though we might be getting into a fight, let us stop and ask God to help us do what we've learned today. And if we do this, then we will have discovered how we can live in peace with our friends and our brothers and sisters in church and with God. Then our lives and the life of Jesus' bride, the church, will be changed and all the world will see. And then lots more people will want to come and find out about Jesus being their friend as well. Okay, thank you all for your help.